Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, Newsweb Radio.
Charlie Brown, you worry about the most impossible things.
Would you like to come? I could either pick you up or meet you there.
If I ever get my hand out of this mailbox, I can't stand it. I just can't stand it.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. He's green, so don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Here he is, Mike Novak. And they pay me for this, folks. Okay.
Where's the noisemakers?
I think we are the noisemakers.
We are.
I know we have a habit of making noise.
Wait. Where's my bell?
It's in the box somewhere. There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
That's all I got. That's it. We're total old school here.
If we were old school, we'd have those old metal noisemakers. Remember those? They were like, you know, the
same.
The
metal.
The twisted, and then they had the clankies inside. My grandmother had those. She had a big bag of the actual metal ones.
I'll tell you what.
I remember it was a big deal when we got to take them out.
Here's the deal. 773-838-9278. Because I know. There's some noisemakers there. We got some fireworks.
Some. Don't go too loud. Some people might want something a little quieter this
morning. Hey, wake up! Hey!
Oh, you're a mean man.
It's
when you
the new
be
year. Hey!
You're that guy, huh?
I am that guy.
You are that guy.
I was out last night. I mean, you can look at my Facebook post from 1:11 this morning. So, you know, if I was going to say 773-838-9278. If somebody at home has actually one of those noisemakers that you twist, that
the cranky, clicky ones.
I'll give you a prize just to start the new year.
Antonio!
Antonio!
Happy New Year, my friend! Look what you have.
Now, nobody's blown in these before, have they? Where'd you
now
get these?
Now that's a loaded question.
I can't guarantee that, but.
Okay, let's go. Here we go. Happy New Year, everybody!
I think we woke them all up now.
All right. Okay, that's all the time we
that's
have.
It.
Good night,
that's
everybody.
It. 2012's here, yay.
Yeah, okay. Happy New Year, everybody. Good morning. We're live. As Dick Kay says, we're live, we're local. It's real radio.
Yeah.
You know what? I wasn't taking the New Year off. Not the first day of the New Year. Besides, we were
off last Sunday.
Yeah.
And merry belated
Festivus. Hey, Merry Christmas. And
yes.
Do you have my gift?
No.
That's funny. I left yours at home, too.
Oh, excellent. Good.
So we are the bad little elves here.
We're in the same elf shack, if you will.
We didn't exchange gifts 2 weeks ago because mm-hmm. it was too early. Last week, we weren't here.
Mm-hmm. I have it, but it's just not presently
I do,
with
too.
Me.
I don't have it with me either. Darn. So I'm thinking March.
March will work.
About the time we're in the new studio.
We should be in the new studio before March.
For those of you who don't realize, WCPT is moving. The offices have already moved.
Yes.
My guests, that's why I'm doing stuff on the phone when I have guests, because there's no furniture here.
There isn't.
there's the refrigerator's gone.
Everything.
The snack machine is gone.
Yep. There's big holes in all the equipment
in the wall where they ripped out the cables.
Yep.
There's a couple of file cabinets left.
Yeah.
You know, in the storage room, the only thing left in there is my show prep stuff.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
There's like my bag of CDs and stuff. That's it. So they keep telling us we're going to be out of here real soon. We'll see.
You'll see.
But so new year, new building, same old show.
Yep.
No, same great show. I mean, I'm very, you know, let's just send out
Do you know the phone's been ringing and I'm
looking at you? Oh, my goodness.
I got to answer the phone.
Do that.
I put this in front of me.
Yes, why don't you do that? We apologize, those of you who were calling just now. Call back. We're just chatting around here. Oh, wait, the phone's ringing. Oh, look at that. All right, as I said, 773-838-9278. Feel free to wish us a happy new year if you got a noisemaker, even better. And then we'll use our noisemakers here. I like that. Have we got somebody?
Anita from Skokie online too, because my computer's not working.
Anita from Skokie.
Bonita.
Let's bring in what?
Bonita.
Good morning, Bonita.
Good morning, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You got a noisemaker there?
No, just me. That's pretty much enough noise.
Make a noise. Make a sound.
That's a good one.
Da, da,
God, I made
da,
myself
da, da,
deaf doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you made us deaf, too. Hello? Hello?
I so enjoyed it. It's a wonderful slice last week.
I'm sorry, what?
Wrapping Christmas presents.
You were listening to it?
Of course I was.
Oh, thank you.
It was excellent.
I thought the crew did a fabulous job. Mike
yes.
Sanders and Heather, of course, and even Ron Cowgill, who showed up to do his cameo.
You know, that Leatherman tool sounds wonderful.
The what? Oh, the Leatherman, yes.
Yeah, the MacGyver tool.
Yeah. You should see it. Yeah. For those of you who weren't listening last week, We actually did have something that was not, it was pre-recorded, except it was new. You hadn't heard it. We did our 2011 version of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful
Again,
Life.
Again, it was excellent. I really enjoyed the program.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. And Ron Cowgill came in here with his Leatherman tool, which he calls his MacGyver.
Uh-huh.
And that sucker is so cool.
And very handy.
Very
yep.
handy. And you
hey,
guys
have
used...
you got the spray out of your hair yet from your basement?
Oh, you looked at that video, huh?
No, I don't have a computer.
How do you know about that?
I listened to...
She listens to the show.
I assume nobody...
She pays more attention than you do.
I know. I always... I assume
well,
people are listening but not
there.
Paying attention, you know? It's like they just have like you said, you had it on in the background as you were wrapping gifts. Well,
that's right.
Bonita,
yes.
I'm gonna send you a prize.
You know, that's really not necessary. I'm the one that called about that Open Lands Act down by Southern end of Fort Sheridan.
Oh yeah.
I said I was there a few times. It's just so beautiful. I'm so glad they've got that tract of land open to the public.
Well, great. And you've been there several times, huh?
A few times.
It is wonderful.
Because it opened kind of late, I think. I was there two or three times. But it really just transports you.
Yeah, it is a great thing.
It's so beautiful. I had actually met the engineer there the first time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, we would sit and have lunch, and, you know, deer would literally come so close to us that we had to stamp our feet to have them move. It's just, it's a really a beautiful place. I would hope that everybody could have the opportunity to see it.
They are fearless, the deer, not the engineers.
No. Well, he actually, they have these huge 2x4x20 six stacks of wood to build the staircase.
Yeah.
And the engineer told me he actually carried one of those down and put it in place.
Wow. I saw those.
Yeah.
I have photographs of the staircases before they were quite finished, and they're magnificent. I always admire that kind of construction on the side of a ravine and how you put up a staircase like that. That's just great stuff. I wouldn't know how to do that.
What, no, nor would I. What I love is there's different levels, Mike,
mm-hmm.
that you can stop and take in a little more of the view and take in a little more of the very well planned.
Yeah, and we're talking about, for those of you who are not familiar with this, the Openlands Lakeshore Preserve, which opened up at mm-hmm. what was called Fort Sheridan, still Fort Sheridan, and they took a lot of the land there, about 77 acres, I believe, which was a military base. Up there, and that's how it got saved, which is I find ironic, actually, that
you know what is kind of peculiar getting into it, though. You have to go through the officers' housing, you know,
right through their homes.
Not quite through them,
through
but
the
I
living
mean,
room.
There is this little section of it's. You take, I think it's Wagner to Patton Drive, but you
mm-hmm.
do have to go through little pink houses all over.
For you and me.
Yeah, that's right.
Little pink houses for you and me.
I mean, it's a little slice of suburbia, but you do have to drive through this to get to that section.
Well, and if you go to if you go to openlands.org, you can get all the instructions.
I'm
to
the lady I met at, you and I met at Pesci's that has no computer.
Oh, what are you doing without a computer?
I'm surviving. Not well, but I am surviving.
Okay.
Well, here's the sad thing. As a returning adult, I took two computer classes and got college credits for them and never went any further.
Well, get,
I
you
passed
know,
the classes.
Don't you have any friends or relatives?
Hey, it's still kind of cool to be off the grid, kind of.
Well, yeah,
you know what?
Actually, you're right.
Running against
my
the herd.
Didn't have that, yeah, that, my sons did not have that much patience with me. I mean, my oldest son donated me his computer, and it was like I was calling him every 3 minutes. Why does it keep looping back to blackjack? You know, he had card games in his computer.
Oh, so that's all he did. Now we know what your son was up to.
He was playing cards.
A lot of people do. Bonita, listen, Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for going to the Openlands Lakeshore Preserve and reminding
I can't
people
wait to
about
get
it.
Back there.
And I hope other people will do that as well. All right.
It's only 4.5 miles from downtown Highland Park. Only.
Only. Only. You could ride your bike. You could walk.
If you choose to.
If you choose to.
If you're athletically inclined.
If you're athletically inclined. All right, Bonita, have a great new year.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Who's on line one?
A friend of yours.
A friend of mine? I have no idea. Let's go to line one. Good morning.
Good morning, and Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to you, too.
What are you guys doing at the studio?
A live radio show.
What's up with that?
Sanders, where are you?
I'm at home in my skivvies.
I know. That's why Antonio's
thanks
here.
Thanks for sharing. Oh, man. That's an image for the new year. You suck, man.
Mike Sanders, host of Our Town. Yeah, where's your noisemaker?
We've already gotten to the skivvies. We ended there.
Black socks and skivvies, baby.
Oh, dear. Oh, man. So with the kids today, huh?
Yeah. They're running around. They're up early, way too early. So.
And it's not even Christmas. It's New Year's.
It's New Year's.
Who gets up early on New Year's?
Children.
And us, apparently.
Yeah, they don't care. And you guys. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Hey, I made it with a minute to go.
Yeah, you should have seen her. Running
safe
into the
at
studio.
Home, man. Yep.
How did you make it through the zombie apocalypse?
It was actually the zombie apocalypse hasn't risen yet.
Okay.
And so that was my big goal, my big benefit, actually, because it was like open, you know, New Year's Day highways.
Zing, yeah, yeah, that's the thing, Mike. There's nobody out on the highways this morning.
At all.
There's nobody.
I haven't heard an alarm or anything this morning. No sirens, no emergency vehicles, nothing.
Nope. So. I heard an alarm at about 7:30, and then I thought I snoozed it, but apparently I shut it off, and hence my predicament in getting here real fast.
Well,
yeah.
I turned the radio on. I'm like, I think they're in the studio this morning. Let me call in and say Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you, man.
So
appreciate it.
All right. Just leave me some money in my box, and that's cool.
Will do.
Right.
You know, if you were here, I'd have given it to you in person. You come in and look for it.
Yeah, yeah. Such a liar, man. You don't give me no money. All right, you guys. Have a good one.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're already getting tweeted here. By the way, big show today. Actually, we're doing real stuff. Barb Malera from D. Landreth Seed Company will be on with an update for the new year on that. Pat Sketch Weather. Rick DeMaio has been on Channel 2 for the last, every day, 48 hours a day. So he's taking the morning off. Ben Helphan and Mr. Brown Thumb from One Seed Chicago. Now, I'm a little upset because the One Seed Chicago campaign, contest, whatever you want to call it, is supposed to go live this morning on this show. They're supposed to hit the button and it is supposed to start, but I'm just looking at a post. You know, nobody's supposed to know what the three seeds are. Three seeds in the fountain.
Wow.
I know. That's just sad. It's just sad.
That's, but you know, that was a reach, but I got it. It was almost cool.
It doesn't matter. but I'm going to go to the... look at that. Now, see, they weren't supposed to post it.
So it's posted?
All right. I have got a bone to pick with Mr. Brown Thumb, who said, we will post it live on your show. And we were even going to have a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Hit.
Countdown was last night.
No. I know it, but a second one this morning so we could do the One Seed Chicago and then post it online and we're off. It's up.
It's with Shard in there again?
And no. No,
well,
I'm not
do
even,
the announcement. Do the official announcement.
I'm not doing the official. Don't. Anybody can go to it because I got busted here because my skinny garden already posted what the seeds were on Twitter.
Where?
Not my skinny garden. I'm sorry. It was a Snappy J Dog who did. Okay. And
those sound yummy. Ooh, those I last year I didn't know what most of them were. These I know what all of them are. How's that for progress? Happy New Year to me.
Yeah. Well, and somebody else is writing here. Let's see, who is it? Honey Co-op writes it's on the One Seed Chicago blog. See, I've been dissed here.
I don't think
you've
been
dissed.
Gosh
darn it. They were going to go live. Somebody who else posts the ship that sailed. Thanks a lot. Okay. Well, at least my Twitter friends are out there this morning. Everybody's.
We're there.
It's okay. It's okay. Snappy J, you don't need to shield your eyes. If you read it, you read it. And they're already posted. So let's just, we might as well because this is radio.
Oh, wait for Mr. Brown Thumb.
No!
He's your guest.
He posted it, so I'm going to give you the names of
these. It's your show.
It is my show.
It is.
That's why I'm going to tell you the names of the seeds. But, Because if I don't, anybody's listening. Well, of course, people in the radio can't go online and find out. I mean, who are in the car?
We just had Bettina just told us she is off the grid. There are some people that are traditionalists and just like turning on their radio,
listening to talk radio. We will do the tease thing at 10 o'clock. We'll tell you the talk radio thing.
We'll tell you
that is so 20th century. At 10 o'clock,
know where you're going if you don't know
Mr.
Where you've been.
Brown Thumb and Ben Helphan from Neighbor Space will be here to announce the candidates for the One Seed Chicago 2012 contest. Now
I know what one
all right,
I want to win.
And here's the deal. I actually posted yesterday that I decided I was not going to steal the election like I did last year. Remember?
Yeah, the Swiss Chard Overlord. Yeah, you kind of stacked the deck there.
I did. I became the Chard Overlord because I told people what to vote, and they, of course, march in line.
Uh-huh.
They just march to my tune. Everybody does. You do especially.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I was not going to steal it. Now that I've been dissed, I am totally going to steal the election. I'm going to assert my massive radio and media
seed overlordness.
Muscle. Might. And just, I'm going to overwhelm the competition once again. Now, I don't even know which seed I'm voting for yet, but I'm going to pick one, and that's the one that's going to win. So we will have the announcement of that at 10 o'clock. And then John Ivanko, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right, and Lisa Kivirist, could be Kivirist, who knows. They're authors of a book called Farmstead Chef, and it's a cool cookbook. It's this one right here. And it's about getting back to the earth.
Ooh.
And being, you know, local and being smart and easy to read and easy to perform recipes.
Yeah, I'm already
recipes.
Hungry just looking at three of these.
Oh, there's
so.
there's go to my website.
It's a latke and potato pancakes. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah. You open it to any page.
Yet. Hardy. I might abandon you for a Starbucks run, just so you know.
I'm just flipping through here. Cream of carrot soup. Actually, that sounds great. Zucchini summer squash bisque. How about chocolate zucchini bread? How about crispy eggplant parmesan? How about Asian chicken satay with Thai peanut sauce? Not if you're allergic to peanuts, but other than that, it'll be great. And on and on and on. Farmstead Chef, they will be here in the second hour as well. All right, let's get Barb Malera on the phone because we need to do an update. I'm sort of behind here, and we will take care of that. I will get us up to date. And Barb Malera from D. Landreth Seed Company will be with us in just a sec, so stay tuned.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
You know, I'm thinking that maybe I wasn't... okay, I know you're talking to Barb.
Sorry.
It's all right now. She just... You know, in the new studio, they're actually going to put you behind the glass so we don't have to hear all that stuff in the background, do we? Anyway, I've decided I wasn't dissed and that there was just miscommunication, right?
Uh-huh. Not to mention that your friends on Twitter were all backing my play here.
What's your backing your
My
play?
Skinny Garden said, I object to you telling the names. This is the insider info and only social media peeps will know. Laugh out loud. We're the in crowd. We're in the in crowd.
That's what they think.
You're so nouveau riche.
Well, if you remember the conversation we had with, it's one of the peeps here. If you are not on social media, you will be irrelevant in 3, 2, 1. Yes.
Okay. I think that was my Skinny Garden as well.
I think so.
She's a witty one. I like her.
She's on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here we are on the first day of 2012, all shiny and new. You're looking for a good way to start the year. Well, first recycle those champagne bottles, then wipe the pate off of your chiffleura. I won't even ask how it got there. Next, if you haven't done it yet, get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The January-February issue is the annual planting guide, which will help you get the most out of your Zone 5 garden all year long. Each issue is jam-packed with articles, gardening tips, horticultural resources, calendar events, and more. There are regional reports from all around the Chicago area. And if you don't think the weather in Northwest Indiana is different from what happens in Rockford, well, you just haven't been paying attention. There's also my column on the inside back page. If you think you're going to learn a lot about gardening by reading it, well, you just haven't been paying attention. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine right now when it can do the most good for the whole year. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. 3600 for those of you who do not have computers, those of you who do have computers, ChicagolandGardening.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hello, Mr. New Year, hello. Oh, yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears of yesterday, for New Year has come our way. If it's true, Mr. New Year, it's true.
I'm so glad that Antonio brought in those noisemakers. I feel so festive now.
I'm just happy I'm not hungover.
Me too.
I'm really happy I've outgrown that. It's kind of like another...
For this year.
Yeah, I didn't score like really good concert tickets on the fly or something last night.
Yeah, I know.
But I was actually okay with that. It was nice just to relax.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas was bigger for me because I've got the little guys now, and my son and my niece and my nephew. So New Year's, okay, yay.
All right, let's go to line one. Let's bring in Barb Malera from D. Landreth Seed Company. Happy New Year, Barb.
Happy New Year to you too, Mike and Heather. I hope it's a great New Year.
You sound like you're a little bit under the weather there. No?
No, I'm fine. I don't know what happened. The minute I said Mike and Heather, my throat clogged up.
She got verklempt. Happy New Year, Barb.
You're here because, you're still going strong. The catalogs have gotten out. I watched, I went to your website, not your website, gosh, it was on Facebook. Last week, and I'm flipping through Facebook and checking you out, and, I mean, in a good way. sorry about that.
Heather, we won't. Follow that out.
That's right. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
You don't see the look I give him.
Yeah, I know.
Like, really?
Yeah, really? Do you have to go there? And you wrote on October 14th, you received a letter from First Data. I'll read it in your voice. On October 14th, we received a letter from First Data telling us that they refused to be our credit card processor and that they were, before I go in there, okay, there might be people listening who don't know the whole story, and the whole story is that you had a note called on you like 4 months ago now, and you've been trying to sell a million catalogs to keep this venerable company from going under. It's a 227-year-old seed company. You do heirloom and open pollinated seeds, and you've been sending, working to get these catalogs out, working to get sales. People all over the country have stepped up to support you and help you. And then you find out that this company called First Data is start that story, and then I can get to the good news. What did First Data do?
Okay, First Data was our credit card processor. They processed our Discover cards, our Visa cards, and our MasterCards. They did not process PayPal or American Express. And what they did is they decided that we were running a scam, and so they kept all of the customers' monies that had ordered catalogs between the beginning of September and the end of October. And they told us that they weren't going to distribute that money for at least 6 months, maybe longer. So all of the people who had purchased catalogs and had legally paid for the catalogs, we did not have their money.
I think it's important to point out that this was at a time when you were in the most dire need of this money, because this was at the time where you had no idea whether this was going to all come together, whether you were going to be able to even survive. You had some people who believed in you and who started ordering catalogs, and then you had this company, First Data, that decided that what you were doing was scamming people, that you weren't really going to come through. And for all those people who have received their catalogs and see how beautiful they are, they realize you weren't scamming people. But this company, in their infinite wisdom, had decided that for some reason, and was withholding funds.
That's right. Now, what they told us is that they would release those funds if we proved to them that we had shipped the catalogs. So come December the 1st, when we had shipped all of the catalogs for their customers, we started notifying them, and they wouldn't respond and wouldn't respond and wouldn't respond. And so we said to them, if you do not release our funds, we're going to go public with this. They still didn't respond. On December the 26th, we went public on our Facebook page and told everybody the truth. That was the evening of December the 26th. What happened is all of our friends started bombarding this company, either on their social media outlets or on their website, and they bombarded and bombarded and bombarded, and in 48 hours, we got a call from the company that said, we've reviewed your account, and we're going to release the funds. And the funds were back in our bank account this past Friday, December the 30th.
Unbelievable. So once again, really, you know, the power of the social media is felt once again. It's just amazing. And so give me that time frame again. You went public with this on what date?
On the evening of December the 26th. That was Monday, December the 26th. Mm-hmm. On the evening of that day, we went public. Our Facebook page lit up with people who were furious. And evidently, FDMC's Facebook page and their website and anything else that they had just was bombarded with people saying, how dare you do this? And in 48 hours, in actually less than 48 hours, the company called us and said, we're going to release the funds, and they put the money back in the account on Friday.
Unbelievable.
And Mike and Heather, the important thing to understand is they wouldn't have done this if it was just us. This was the power of social media. This was the power, truly the power of people.
For those of you who don't have computers, I'm just saying, okay? Just saying.
Just be kind.
Sorry.
Do it kindly.
I'm sorry. I know. The kinder, gentler Mike needs to start the new year.
You were just Carolyn. You got to tap that inner Bob Cratchit, you know?
But let's talk about some interesting things, because you two have helped this little company so much, and your listeners have been unbelievable. So I'd like to share with you some of the real stuff about Landrith. Landrith is in the business, yes, of selling seeds and heirloom varieties, but they're also in the business of trying to educate Americans about their gardening heritage. And what I wanted to do today was say we have, you Mike, you Heather, and me, but we have a celebration, because as of today, one of the most popular beans, bush beans, this nation has ever known, the Blue Lake bush bean, something that most of your customers, your listeners, Mike and Heather, purchase and plant in their gardens. Blue Lake bush beans, as of today, is an heirloom variety. It's over 50 years old.
Oh my
as
goodness.
Of today.
So that as of today.
As of today, Blue Lake bush beans were introduced in 1961.
Wow.
And that variety is now 50 years old.
Hold on. Where's the noisemaker?
Yippee.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
It is cool, because so many people throughout this country plant Blue Lake bush beans, and they think of it as a modern variety, but it really now, as of today, is an heirloom.
Well,
so go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I also wanted to tell you that there are a couple of other vegetable varieties that are beloved by many Americans who garden, who are just a little bit older than heirlooms. The cherry bell radish, which if you plant a round red radish in your garden, it's probably cherry bell, and that was introduced in 1949. The table queen, acorn squash, that big greenish-black acorn-shaped squash, was introduced in 1948. And the lettuce, the butterhead lettuce, that is probably the most demanded seed, at least at our company, is a lettuce called Butter Crunch. That will be an heirloom next year. It's celebrating its 49th birthday today. It was introduced in 1963. So things that we plant every single day and we don't think of as heirlooms really are either heirlooms or about to be heirlooms.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, they, you know, and with automobiles, it's 25 years before you get an antique.
Seeds, it's 50.
With seeds, it's 50. I wonder what it is for others. I want to bring up something, because I'm, you know, gotten a couple of tweets here. And I missed some of this, and I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, Barb. Somebody tweeting about negative feedback that you might have gotten this week in light of all the controversy and how hard you've been pushing people to support you. And I didn't see it, and maybe you want to address that just a little bit.
Well, it wasn't negative feedback. There were a few people who commented on Facebook that they were tired of the drama. And that's not negative feedback. That's a legitimate opinion, Mike and Heather. And I was very sensitive. I worried about telling people what was going on with the company for 6 weeks before we finally released that announcement on December the 26th. And now that it's been resolved so quickly and so well, we haven't heard anything from the people that were tired of the drama. But I have addressed their concern and said, this is the end of the drama. If anything else negative happens, it's going to stay within Landris. But we felt we had no choice on December the 26th but to make this public in the hopes that social media would help us to get it resolved. And it did in a remarkably short time.
Well, I will cop to the fact that I knew about the drama probably a month before, maybe, I don't know if it was a month, month and a half before you went public with it. And you and I talked about it, you know, and whether this is something you wanted to talk about on the show. And I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, you can, you know, and there might be folks who say, well, you know, you've got, everything has to come out at all times if you're going to be a journalist. And, well, you know, my show is there's journalism here, but there's also advocacy, and it's my show. And my feeling was, no, we don't need to come public with everything. And I think it actually worked out for the best because you were able to resolve this in a matter of a couple of days rather than have it drawn out.
And you were right. I think your advice to me was absolutely right. We couldn't afford at the time to kill the momentum of the catalog sales, nor could we afford to have people say, oh, my God, I'm not going to get a catalog. I'm going to lose that $5. We had to get the catalogs into the hands of people and demonstrate to your listeners and to everybody else that had purchased a catalog that we were a committed, honest, non-scam company. And then when most people had their catalogs, then we could say, now here's what's going on. And at that point, it might have been appropriate to do what we did. But I don't think the people that said, this is too much drama, I've had enough, I don't want to hear any more of your whining, I don't think that was negative. It was a very valid opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's good, actually, when it all comes out. When even the folks who say, okay, enough of that. You're not the only seed company in the world. And you're not. You know, let's face
That's
it. There's
exactly
a, you know,
right.
there's a lot of seed companies. You know, it's interesting. I was talking about Mr. Brown Thumb, who kind of got this rolling for me because it was a post I saw of his that alerted me to what was going on here. But I was going to his blog site the other day, and he has the list of seed catalogs for 2012 and ones that people should be paying attention to. And there's a lot of great seed catalogs out there.
Beautiful ones.
Yeah. So you're not, anybody within the sound of my voice is not required to buy a, purchase a D. Landreth Seed Company catalog. It'd be great to keep them in business. In fact, many people who buy seed catalogs buy more than one. So what I would suggest is if you're going to buy more than one, yeah, buy D. Landreth as well. But, you know, if you want Seed Savers Exchange or if you want Johnny Select Seeds or if you want...
Baker Creek.
I was going to say Baker Creek, right. And who have supported you, by the way, in your effort.
They have.
And I say get on board. This is the time of year to do it. But while you're doing it, hey, why not get a D. Landreth Seed Company catalog and help keep this business in business. And the fact that you guys have worked so hard for the past, you know, 4 months to make this happen, you know, there's got to be a good outcome to this at this point. Otherwise, it would just be sad.
Well, there is a good outcome to it. And You've seen the catalog. Heather's seen the catalog.
It's a beauty.
It was well worth the effort. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And all right. So where are you now? Then you're still selling catalogs, and now this is really prime time for you guys.
Yes, it is. And where we are is we're beginning to see a surge from the people who didn't buy a catalog the first time around, but have now seen their friends' catalogs and recognize what a resource it is. We're beginning to see a sort of a second surge in catalog purchases, and we're beginning to see people who've purchased the catalog purchase our seeds. And that's what we needed to have happen. We needed to have the initial catalogs spur an interest by a much wider public. And we're hoping that will continue throughout the seed buying season.
Great. It goes on. January is going to be. Have we got a call here, Heather? Let's. Is this about the seed catalog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's about New Year's.
It's about.
You need to answer that.
No, I don't. Not yet. We'll do it when I'm done with you, Bruce. Hang on for a second. I want. It's like, I'm going, oh, somebody's calling about seeds.
Well, that's why I put it up on the screen for you to read, and you can screen it and know what it's about
okay.
If you went and looked at the screen.
Well, we're in the middle of a conversation.
But Heather, don't we have something?
Yes.
Don't we have some unfinished business?
We do, Barb, we do.
Uh-oh.
Well, I was racking my brain and trying to figure out what exactly I should get you for the holidays, you know, because I was like... He doesn't need, you know, I'm like, what am I going to buy you, a trowel? How many do you have, you know? So
40 or 50.
Exactly. So I figured you have 40 or 50 trowels. The thing you like to go with them is the plants.
Uh-huh.
So I got in cahoots with Barbara, and you have a D. Landreth gift certificate headed your way, which is in this beautiful envelope with this gorgeous seed card that she gave me that's sitting on my kitchen counter as we speak.
That never made it to the
station. That never made it to the studio today, and I even got in cahoots with Barbara. I'm like, once the announcement was made, I was like, oh, he's going to have her on. And I was emailing her like, you're going to be on, right? And that's why I said earlier before the show started that I was too stupid to live because I forgot it.
Oh, it's okay.
I was like, oh,
no, you're
man.
Not too stupid to live now.
Oh, man.
Well, I appreciate it.
So you can get, but I just, if you get a vegetable of some sort, I just want to sample it once it comes to fruition.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
That's all I ask.
Fabulous.
And the catalog I ordered another for my brother-in-law, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
My thing, being, you know, still a layman in the gardening world, was finding out how many varieties there are of certain, you know, plants and vegetables. Like, I had no idea there were that many species of garlic, or that that some of them dated back as long as they did, or were crossbred with other ones for popularity. And you're going through the catalog, and on top of being incredibly impressed and just taken by how beautiful it is, you learn a lot. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that factor very much.
And some of that garlic is growing in my community garden right now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's been the same way where you are, Barb, but it's been awfully warm here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And the garlic just keeps growing, you know. I keep waiting for it to die back, and it will. In the next 3 days, it's going to get really cold here. In fact, that means I got to get to the weather, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Wait, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, let me give me 15 seconds.
Sure.
I want to share this last thing with your viewers. 164 years ago, David Landreth, the son, wrote this. I've made one modification. I've changed farmer to gardener. This is for you and Heather and your listeners. The life of the gardener is one, of almost uninterrupted labor. And though it be laborious, there are enjoyments which do not attend any other of life's callings. As he looks on his well-tilled field, smiling as it were in gratitude for the labor of his hands, the gardener is the recipient of pleasure which no other pursuit affords. Happy New Year, you guys.
Hey, listen, that was going to be a nice way to end it, except we got a phone call. Let's go real quick to line 3 and bring in Penny in Lansing, Illinois. How you doing, Penny?
Good, thank you. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I would just like to tell Ms. Landreth I purchased several catalogs and I gave them as Christmas presents to my friends who are gardeners, and I donated one to my public library.
Oh, that's great.
That's fantastic.
How cool is that?
Thanks, Penny. Thank you so much. That's fantastic.
Hey, that's wonderful, Penny. You know what? I've been looking for something or somebody to give something to start the new year. Do you have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
No, I don't.
You do now.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem. You hang on, Penny, and tell Heather your information. And thanks for buying the catalog. Thanks for donating it to the library. That's a great way to pass along the information. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Penny. Thank you for calling, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
There you go, Barb. That's a cool way to end the conversation.
It sure is. And once again, Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year to you. You take care now.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. With Christmas in our rearview mirror, it's time to think about where you're going to recycle your Christmas tree. I have links to the City of Chicago and suburban sites on this week's show at MikeNovak.net. The branches of a Christmas tree can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard. Obviously, the finer you chop it up, the faster it will decompose in the spring. On the other hand, branches from the tree can be used to cover plants to help protect them from the cold and wind and to keep the soil temperature even. And a reminder, never burn your Christmas tree or any fresh conifer wood in a fireplace or wood stove. The trees have a lot of sap, which when burned turns into creosote that can coat the inside of your chimney and possibly lead to a chimney fire. And if you were listening to our show several weeks ago, you learned of the dangers of other chemicals, some pesticides and other things that might be on trees. So that's a really good reason not to burn them indoors. Just please don't do that. If you want to take care of the live trees in your yard, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
You and your best date have a New Year's Eve date right here. Join us on CBS Radio New Year's Eve as many of these same stations present America's top dance bands, one right after another, from mid-evening right up to dawn.
Happy New Year, baby!
Happy New Year, nothing! The way you treated me last year wasn't nothing happy about it.
Yeah, baby, but that was last year. This year I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, pick up on this.
Okay. Okay, now we can get to Bruce on line two. How you doing, Bruce? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike. I know that you asked for those old-time rattlers.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one, but I did find one of those things that you swing back and forth and there's a ball inside. That's the best I could do.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, my wife bribed me to call you with this, and with the stipulation that I ask you but one question.
Okay.
And that is, will you be appearing at the Porter County Master Gardener Program on the 21st?
No, I'm not scheduled to do that this year.
You are kidding. We were going to drive all the way there, expecting you to be there, and you won't.
Well, you know, I might still be there, but I'm not scheduled to speak.
Oh, incommunicado. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be wearing my sunglasses and my false nose.
Right, and the fedora.
And the fedora. Except I can't get the false nose over the real nose, because
that's the
problem. It doesn't fit.
Color turned up. Right?
Give us a plug for the convention, though, the seminar.
Well, you know, I don't know too much about it. My wife's really the gardener, as you probably know. It's I think it's at the Porter County Fairgrounds, and it's put on by the Master Gardener Association on the 21st of January. I've been to it a couple of times, and it's really, really pretty cool, because here in the heart of winter, usually there's a lot of snow outside, you walk into this facility, and it's the fragrance of flowers and various herbs and bulbs and what have you. And it really brings, for one, for maybe just a couple hours, the feeling of spring, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very much worth it's over at the here. My wife hands me this prop thing, a Porter County Expo Center. I think it's a great thing to do in the middle of winter.
I think it is, too. This is the time of year when you have those seminars and people come up and they get all excited about spring. But you know what? I'm at a point right now, I feel like we haven't even gotten cold weather yet. So it's kind of hard to feel like I miss the growing season because it really hasn't gone away yet.
Well, I know exactly what you mean.
We need some snow.
Well, I believe that Rick DeMaio will tell you that we're in for it. Winter is going to be here, and no matter what we do, for maybe a month or two. So I was watching him on Channel 2 the other day, and he admonished the newscaster that they need to hold their breath a little bit.
Well, you know, and we've already had that argument about how this was going to be the worst winter of all time, and people were all breathless about it a couple of months ago, and now you can hear them beeping as they back up. Well, listen, Bruce, thank you so much for calling. I really, and thanks for give me the noisemaker one more time.
Okay, let me find it. Here we go. That's the best I can do, Mike.
Happy New Year!
All right. Have a great year.
You too. Bye-bye. And speaking of weather, let's go to the phones and bring in not Rick DeMaio, who's not here this morning, but Pat Skatch. Pat!
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm Heather. Good. How are you?
Happy New Year. Thank you. Very good.
Happy New Year to you. Pat is a cooperative weather observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago, climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department, observer and weather observer. And what can you tell us about 2011 that we don't know already?
Oh, it was a busy year, Mike, and sort of a strange one. I mean, I took a look back, and I also took a look at Jim Alsup's page on the National Weather Service website. He did a nice annual climate wrap-up. And, you know, as bizarre as it was, you know, we started the year with the blizzard on February 1st and 2nd. We're all aware of that. 14 people died as a result of that storm. 2 weeks later, we had our coldest temperatures of the season. When on the 10th of February, we got down to -9. And then May through July, we had numerous tornado and high wind occurrences. The end of May, we had western counties of Illinois experienced an EF1 tornado, which was kind of unusual because that had a 29-mile-long path. Several tornadoes also developed in central Illinois and moved into Indiana and caused damage to grain bins and, you know, utility poles and so forth. And then in June, we went through the same episode with high wind storms and so forth. And you probably remember this one, which hits close to home to you, when the baseball-sized hail at the Garfield Park Conservatory.
Yeah. That, you know, Rick was on, when Rick was on the show, he sent me a graph of that storm, and my house was pretty much ground zero for the heaviest hail. It was funny, and he showed how the weather developed over the lake north, and then it came south, and then it came inland, and it hit the Garfield Park Conservatory in my area in Logan Square, and that was where the worst damage was done.
What size hail did you have, Mike, that you would estimate?
Golf ball.
Okay.
Yeah, I took a video of it. Kathleen holding a couple of golf ball size hail pieces in her hand. It was and wiped out my hostas, wiped out a lot of plants in my yard that just, you know, never came back. They were done for the season at that point.
That's a shame because it was still early.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, you get one of those hailstorms early, there are certain plants that, you know, hostas, once the leaves come out, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And hope something bad doesn't happen, like a windstorm or a hailstorm. But in December, we've had one of the warmest Decembers on record, haven't we?
Well, that's it. Here, let's take a look at that. I went back, I looked at Midway Airport data, just for the simple reason, Mike, Midway became official in 1942. Prior to that, it was all downtown observation sites, and we talked about this before, you know, the lake and the downtown area would keep those a little bit warmer, so it wasn't really a good source. So going back to 1942, which is 70 years, only five Decembers have out of the 70 had a warmer maximum temperature, and only four past Decembers had a warmer minimum temperature.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's 6%.
Yeah. That's a small number. So, those of you who think it's been warm, yeah, it's been warm. So, but I understand it gets cold today for at least a few days. What have we got for this week?
Well, what we have for this week is this. Well, for today, we're going to have a high wind advisory, and we are going to see winds possibly 45 to 50 miles an hour.
Whoa.
Temperatures are going to be falling, Mike, throughout the day, and we'll wind up in the upper 20s later on. Some flurries are possible, but no accumulation. Tonight, it's going to be continuing windy and low about 20 degrees. One thing to keep in mind for travelers, southwestern Michigan is under a winter storm warning tonight through tomorrow, through Tuesday. So possibly 6 inches of snow or more over there.
Ah, so yeah. they're going to start their winter today.
Well, they will because of the lake effect.
Yeah, exactly.
And then continuing on, Monday the winds will relax somewhat. We'll have a high temperature in the low 20s. Monday night's going to be cold and blustery again. Now we're going to get into the really cold stuff, low temperature down into the teens. And in the remainder of the week, Mike, should be precipitation-free with the exception on Wednesday when there is a chance of snow. And temperatures are going to be increasing each day. Tuesday, mid-20s, Wednesday, mid-30s, 40 on Thursday, and Friday's going to have in the low 40s.
So when does you just got a couple of seconds left, but when does the bottom fall out? Do we have any idea yet?
No, we don't have an idea because it looks like we're going to have another warm-up again.
Wow. Interesting winter.
I'll tell you one real quick. Only 10 years of the past 127 have not exceeded this year's season snowfall total of 1.7 inches so far.
Hmm.
Only 10.
And it doesn't look like we've got any more in the near future.
It doesn't.
Pat Skatch, weather observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago. Thank you so much. Thanks for filling in, Rick DeMaio, and Happy New Year to you.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you too, Mike and Heather.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And just as he did his report, I don't know if you noticed, Heather, but the sun broke through the clouds, and now we got, although that's not a good sign because it means the cold weather's coming in. C. Vanderlinden sent us a tweet. I was talking about Christmas trees and what you can do, and this is a great idea too. You can leave the tree in the stand, set it in the garden for birds to shelter in. And I talked a couple of weeks ago about some people up in the Barrington area in the lake there, and I can't remember the name of it. They take the Christmas trees, put them in. There's a haven, bird haven, rookery. In the middle. Stick around for the second hour. One Seed Chicago and a great cookbook.
The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
You know what we didn't do, Heather, is call. I know you're just about to pick up the phone and get our guests here, but those people who are listening at the top of the show, an hour ago, when
yes.
we played the Charlie Brown.
Yes.
That wasn't the original Charlie Brown. That was
Happy New Year, Charlie Brown.
Happy New
Year.
That
was a New Year one, yeah.
When was that one done?
I can look that one up, but...
But, of course, the whole reference is to the little red-haired girl. It turns out her name is Heather.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, which takes me to a tweet. Did you see the tweet we got here?
I don't know. I've been...
It's scary.
Which one?
The one that says...
Dave, wait. Chuck, the freaking Lisa?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know who they are.
I know.
I hope that's a good thing.
Wait.
As long as I'm not the freak one.
We just, now I got to find it.
Where's, It's here. Garden Fairy.
Who, do Mike and Heather kind of remind you of Dave, Chuck, the freaking Lisa on the
Official 89X. That's another radio station, obviously.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Welcome to the Morning Garden Zoo. I don't even know what
that
is.
All you cats and kittens in Radio Land.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get our guests on for the second hour here. And we got a couple of other interesting tweets. One from Honey Co-op, who wrote, and this is cool, warm, mild winter, good for the honeybees. Now, here's the thing about that. You know, honeybees being insects and the warm weather making it easier for them to survive. It also makes it easier for the bad guys to survive, too. I mean, one of the great things about a really hard, harsh winter, you know, in our area, in Chicago, or I should say west of Lake Michigan, Wisconsin gets snow, of course. You know, you go basically to the state line. It's really weird. You're sort of north of state line. You've got a lot more snow, and then south, not so much. As Pat Skatch said, winter storm warning. I don't know if he said it was a watch or a warning for southwest Michigan, but they're going to get some snow there, and northwest Indiana gets snow. We're not. We're on the wrong side of the lake. And some years when you get that harsh weather and you get the hard freeze without the snow cover, yeah, it takes out a lot of plants, especially if they're not mulched properly, and even if they are sometimes. But it also takes out a lot of pathogens. It takes out insects. It takes out some diseases. It's it can sort of wipe the slate clean. And a few years ago when we had a series of mild winters, one of the things that was happening is that a number of the insects were overwintering, and it wasn't so hard on them, and they were coming back and causing problems. So every now and then, you just want a really, really hard winter. And the other thing that happens when you get going early, warm weather early in the spring, and continuing late into the fall, you get successive generations of insects that you might not get in a colder, harsher year. So there's good and bad. You know, I'm glad that this is good for the honeybees, but it might be good for other insects as well that are not as good for us. Zan wrote, I gather everyone's trees from the alley. We're getting back to Christmas trees now. I gather everyone's trees from the alley, trim the branches for mulch, and use the trunks for trellises in next year's garden. I kind of like that idea because if you trim the branches and you don't, you know, cut them right up against the trunk, you've got little notches on there and places for the plants to grab hold of and climb up. So that's a cool thing. Did you get the tweet about who those radio people?
I just saw it.
They're morning DJs on Detroit radio. Well, cool. Detroit.
That's your hometown, isn't it?
I know it. You betcha. I've not heard them. I wonder how long they've been. I was a DJ in Detroit radio for a while.
On what station?
Well, I actually mostly did news, but I was at WWJ. I was at WDRQ. IQ in my car was our slogan. There was another one that I'm not going to even say. I can't believe a slogan. I was at the public radio station, WDET. I was at Honey Radio, which was the oldie station. I mean, a little bit of everything there in Detroit. Zan wrote exactly about the Christmas trees. You know, grab some. If you see somebody throw out a Christmas tree in their alley and you think it's going to go into a landfill, grab it, chop some branches off, throw them in your yard for mulch, or use the tree for a trellis for next year. Okay, well, we need to, have we got, I don't even have a drum roll here. It doesn't matter.
We got the metal noisemaker. What more do you want?
Well, and Kathleen wrote that we have a metal noisemaker at home. Yeah, well, I didn't bring it. Is she going to call and play it on the phone? So
no, she's going to sneak up behind you at home and ring it really close to the back of your head when you're not looking.
Boy, I can hardly wait until that happens. Let's go to line one and bring in Ben Helpan. Good morning, Ben, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And line two is Mr. Brown Thumb. How you doing, Mr. BT?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you guys. Ben Helpan is executive director of Neighborspace Chicago, and neighborspace.org is where you want to go. Mr. Brown Thumb is ubiquitous, is everywhere in the visible universe on all the social media. And did you hear earlier in the show when I was talking about this, Mr. Brown Thumb?
Uh-huh.
I thought we were going to push the button. I thought we were going to count down.
Well, technology being what it is, and I didn't want to not have like an internet connection or something, so I scheduled everything to be automatic.
You could have scheduled it for 10:10.
Well, you know, live radio, I was like, well, is it going to be exactly 10 or is it going to be after 10?
Well, if you had told me, then I would have made sure that we went live exactly at that point.
But well, the listening audience probably is not a subscriber, so the only people who can see it are people who have subscribed to either Twitter or the blog. It's not technically everywhere yet, and some people probably won't hear the announcement until these very moments.
You're right, and that was what we pointed out earlier, is that there are a number of people hearing for the first time the One Seed Chicago 2012 candidates for Plant of the Year, and it starts right now, January 1st, and the voting goes through April 1st. Is that right, Ben?
That's true, yeah. Not a joke, yeah.
No joke. Right, April Fool's Day, you pull the plug.
Yeah.
And shall we have a drum roll? And you guys did a little switcheroo on us, because normally you alternate between vegetables and flowers. So one year you do three seeds that are flowers, the next year three seeds that are vegetables. But this year you did a little trickery here. It's like a trick question. They're plants, but Mr. Brown Thumb, tell us why they're different this year.
Well, they're herbs, and they're also, I guess you could say, a vegetable this year. But the reason we did that was because Ben, after the success of last year and with your campaigning for Swiss chard, Ben decided that we should continue pushing edible plants so that we could teach Chicagoans about growing their own food, healthy eating.
So you did a little switcheroo here, and instead of going back to just flowers, they are herbs. So it's sort of not quite. Well, they are edible because they go into food. But
and one of them's a flower.
That's true.
Exactly. We actually had a lot of people asking us, you know, why don't you do herbs? Why don't you do a special year on herbs? So we listened to the voters and said, why not? You know.
All right, Ben. So what are the three candidates?
First one is basil, and then we have chamomile and cilantro, which of course has double duty as coriander. So three seeds, four if you really want to stretch it, but three seeds.
No. you can't cheat like that. It's cilantro.
So
which one?
Who's your pick?
I don't know.
My pick?
No, she's looking at me.
Oh.
I know who I'm rooting for.
Okay, who are
I'm
you?
I'm going for chamomile.
Interesting
indeed.
I love
Why
the tea. That? I love the aroma. It's a hearty, good herb. I'm a chamomile fan. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. The chamomile is a beautiful flower. And if you go to oneseedchicago.com, you can see it. I haven't decided which one I'm going to throw my weight to yet. I have to admit, I'm kind of up in the air about this. I love basil. Who doesn't like basil? It's kind of common.
But there's so many different kinds.
Yes, that's true.
That also has a wonderful aroma. I love when we grew it in our earth boxes out back. That was one of my favorite perks to going out and watering it and stuff, was smelling it growing fresh like that. It was so nice.
And then there's cilantro, and as you write on the One Seed website, the leaves of the coriander plant are popularly known as cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
These leaves are common ingredients in cuisine ranging from South Asia to Scandinavia. In America, its popularity can be attributed to its use in Latin American dishes.
And this is really why we wanted to do herbs, is because I think it gets at, they're used in so many different cuisines, and it really can get at the, healthy aspects of growing your own herbs. And, you know, we're very interested in the conversations that it's going to start. When you vote for one seat, Chicago, you literally can't vote until you tell us why you're voting. And we have thousands of people vote, and they have the most wonderful stories. It brings out the memories of, you know, cooking with your parents, cooking with your grandparents, you know, growing in a garden as a child. And those are the kinds of memories we want to get back to and, get people growing again.
Well, Ben, since you're talking about that, I'm kind of interested in how NeighborSpace came about sponsoring the One Seed Chicago contest. Now, you know, NeighborSpace, if folks know about that, it's a community managed open space. You help people find spaces where they can do community gardens. Is it just in the city of Chicago?
Just in Chicago, yes.
Yeah, and so you work with folks and you help them track down stuff. And how did, you know, there is a kind of connection, but how did the One Seed Chicago contest come about?
Well, I think it's, what is it, five? This is the fifth year, and 5 years ago I was thinking, NeighborSpace, we help protect, you know, individual gardens. We have 81 gardens around the city, all different kinds of gardens, flower, vegetables, and we started to realize we have our gardens that we protect, but we also are, you know, we're in the business of promoting gardening more broadly. We want more gardeners in Chicago. And how does that start? It starts with one seed. It starts with that experience of putting one seed into the soil and seeing it grow. If you do that and you have success with that, then you're hooked. Then you'll grow a pot the next year. Then you'll grow a raised bed the year after that, and pretty soon we'll have more gardens. So for NeighborSpace, it was a growth strategy.
Wait, where's my rim shot? I just have the bell. Okay. All I've got is the bell here. Wait, no, I've got this. All right.
Thank you. Is that your New Year's bugle there?
That's my New Year's bugle.
And we have genuinely had, you know, people that learn about, you know, they get gardening through One Seed. They hadn't been doing it in years, or they've never done it. They get the packet, they try it out, and, you know, by the end of the year, they're actually gardening in a NeighborSpace garden. So it's been very successful for us, and we think it's good for Chicago. So we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, we got some really fun tweets coming in right now. I don't know, Mr. Brown Thumb, if you're following, because I know you're on the phone there.
Right.
But there's just hilarious about some of the things coming on. And I invite people right now to who are on Twitter to send me your tweet about your favorite, or even an email right now, or post on Facebook what you're thinking about which plant you're going to vote for. Zan wrote to me. She says, "Do it." She wants me to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. and I think she means, throwing my weight behind the plant. So in my media empire, but you know, my media empire doesn't even compare with Mr. Brown Thumb.
Well, that's not true, because I learned this last year. I would watch the votes come in.
Yeah.
Because they get put into, when they go on to One Seed Chicago, I would see the votes come in, and there was always a surge in votes for Swiss Chard when you mentioned it. So I would sit there, and I knew, if I saw the hits coming into the website, I knew they were coming from your website because they were your listeners, and then I would see Swiss Chard, and a lot of people actually said, because Mike told me to. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, why don't you vote the way you want to instead of listening to Mike? but this year, I think we've come up with a way to kind of test your powers of persuasion among your listening audience, because this year, inspired by what you did last year, we're opening up One Seed Chicago so that anybody can sort of steal the election. We're allowing
How, opening it to what?
To everybody in Chicago. Let me explain.
Okay.
We're going to on our website, we're going to give people the resources. They're going to be downloadable items that people can download so that they can create a polling booth at either their school, their place of work, at their garden club, their place of worship. So we're going to give them the ballots, instructions, and a poster that they can go onto 1cchicago.com and download later this week. And they can create their own polling location. They can campaign for whichever candidate they want. And so anybody in Chicago can steal the election.
Not steal it. See, what you're doing is you're fostering democracy, which is just annoying. Democracy is so over. It's so that is so 18th century. Okay, that is so Enlightenment era. You know, we in America we are so past democracy. We are into big business buying elections. Okay, this is the way we operate. This is the way we roll in America now. So,
well, you haven't seen the attack ads yet
against me, against the plant or me. That's what I want to know.
Well, it depends who you come out. You know, endorsing, you know.
I know, and see, now it's weighing heavy on me. I'm going to have to, I'm like the people in Iowa who say they don't know who to vote for yet, who they're going to caucus for. It's like, if you people haven't figured it out yet, then none of the candidates are worth their salt. But in this case, I just found out about the candidate, the three here in one seat Chicago, I think, yesterday or the day before. So no, it was a couple of days ago. Mr. Brown Thumb wrote to me, but let's see. Here's a vote. It says, my knee jerk says cilantro, but I also love basil, chamomile. I know the least about. So whoops, and it scrolled on me here. I know the least about. So maybe I should go with that. It's tough. And they're retweeting the one that says prove last year wasn't a fluke. Here's one. Please don't pick cilantro. That she's begging me not to pick cilantro. Maybe that's see now, you know. And that's my skinny garden. And so I think if she tells me that, I might have to pick cilantro.
Oh, I'm kind of with her on that one too.
Well, and that's really telling. I mean, people have really passionate feelings about cilantro. Either you love it or you hate it.
I've just been overpowered with it. In certain things I've gone to eat, it's like I can't take a bite without getting huge chunks of it, and it just destroys the flavor of everything else because it's so strong. You can tell it's fresh. It's good. It's just so powerful.
And we just got a tweet, Happy New Year, Mike and Heather and all. Go cilantro. I just ordered all of the candidates from D. Landreth. Is that a coincidence? The tweets are coming in fast and furious. Well, how are we doing on Facebook? I haven't been.
Sorry, I'm eating donuts.
Yeah.
Tell your people who are listening to use the Mike Now hashtag and the Wednesday Chicago hashtag so we can keep track of them and read them and retweet them.
Cool. Yeah. If you're tweeting. Use the hashtag. And for those of you not on Twitter, you don't even know what I'm talking about, so don't even sweat it. But those of you who are, even on Facebook, you can use a hashtag so that other people will use it. The hashtag is the little pound sign you put in front of it. So the hashtag we want you to use, there are two. Either Mike Now, which is my show, MikeNow, or hashtag One Seed Chicago. Use both of them, and as Mr. Brown Thumb says, they can keep track of the votes that are coming in. While I've got you on the line there, Mr. Brown Thumb, before I do that, because I wanted to get to, this is something to put in your head when I get back to you, Mr. BT, which is what else is going on in the horticultural world that you've been writing about. I want to get us up to date. But before we do that, I thought that maybe Ben wants to give some plugs to the partners in One Seed Chicago, because there's a lot of good organizations that are behind this.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, because the GreenNet, Chicago's Community Greening Coalition, is really the main partner in this. And this year, we actually we had the members of GreenNet help choose the three candidates. So every year, there's a potluck for community gardeners at the end of the year. We put up a wall of herbs, and everybody who came got to vote. And it was the primary election, essentially, for One Seed Chicago. And that's how we narrowed it down this year to these three candidates.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. In the past, it's always just been, you know, we ask you know, an esteemed horticultural friend. And but here we really followed democracy to its natural ends. And
well, I want to know who came in fourth.
Oh God, who was it? Ramon, do you remember who it was?
Oh, I can't remember who was fourth. I didn't pay attention to the top three.
You're so limited. You're so limited.
I think it was Huntsman. I don't know.
More enough space in the brain.
What did you think it was, Ben?
Huntsman. I don't. Sorry. Not a good joke.
Oh, very good.
Hey.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Excellent. Excellent. So you've got GreenNet, and are some of the sponsors from last year? I didn't have the updated page, but I know last year you had Open Lands and Illinois Extension and.
Hey. Absolutely, we do, because GreenNet is made up of all of those partners. The Illinois Extension, the Chicago Botanic Garden, Open Lands, Garfield Park Conservatory Alliance, they're particularly helpful in terms of creating our teacher's guide. So that will be coming out soon. And, it's all of the partners coming together and playing their role to spread the word and help with the voting. And help distribute seeds once a winner has been selected. So,
and again, I would let people know. And what happened last year, which was kind of fun, and I hope it happens again this year. People were creating cartoons, animated little things, and putting them online. Some of them were pretty primitive, but they were still fun. I think we've got to have that again. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll put a challenge out there. If anybody has an audio contribution, I'll play it on my show. I mean, if you do something, create some sort of audio.
Like chamomile, cilantro, and basil, like all duke it out, like old duel style.
That'd be kind of
like
cool.
Three Musketeers, and
you hear like
blades
like,
clashing.
Exactly, and people slugging each other in the background, and then only one survives.
That would have been better if you still had the eggplant to actually stab, because I'm sure that audio is a little better. If, like, you know, if you cut up cilantro, sounds like cutting up cilantro, big deal. It all ends in a pot.
All it does is bring out the flavor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, it ends up in soup. They all do each other, and they all fall off into the soup pot together.
and somebody, speaking of eggplant, somebody tweeted, I think that chamomile is going to end up being this year's eggplant.
I rooted for eggplant last year, so there you go.
You cannot be dissed more than to be called last year or this year's eggplant, okay? That's just sad.
Purple's my color, what can I say?
Okay, well, yeah, and so the idea is that let's get the forces out there. Let's get this controversy going. I know everybody's going to be waiting with, here's what I want my listeners to do and my friends who are tweeting and following me on Facebook and Twitter. I want you to figure out how to bribe me to vote for your candidate. That's what I decided to just sell out completely on this, okay? I have no favorite like last year. You know, I really was a Swiss chard guy. This year, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm going to be like Mitt Romney. Just, you know, whatever way the wind's blowing, I'm going to go there. So whatever lands in my lap, feel free to give me some enticement.
I people sending you, like, bath soaps and, you know.
No, I hope they're organic if they
do. Yeah, the only real fair way to do this is to try a good dish with each one. And maybe a tea.
Maybe that's it. Maybe if you send
recipes.
Me food.
Yeah,
no, send not recipe. Food. I'm not going to cook. I. You can send me the dish.
So lazy.
I am. we'll find out more about that because we're talking about the cookbook next, Farmstead Chef. Have you heard about that, Mr. Brown Thumb?
I have heard of the book, and it's pretty good that they're coming up next because one of the aspects of one tea that we came up with last year that we're going to continue this year is... We're gonna ask chefs and participants and people who are just gardeners and who are listening to your show that if they want to contribute a recipe that features one of the candidates, so that we'll post it on our website for One Tea Chicago this year. And I think those recipes kind of that we did last year also kind of helped people decide who to vote for because they could see how easy it was to prepare one of the candidates or the different ways that they can be used in meals because, I mean, honestly, Swiss chard, I hadn't really eaten it very much in the past.
Yeah.
And, but when I saw that the recipes were so easy, I was like, well, I can do this. Anybody, I mean, if I can grow it, I can cook it. So that's one of the things that we want to do this year, too, is we want to ask people to send in their recipes like they did last year, and we'll feature them on the website.
Great. And then the slogan will be, if even Mr. Brown Thumb can fix it, it must be good. So the voting starts now, and I'm sure I'm hoping it's like last. In fact, I hope it's last year's contest on steroids, and that it's such a great.
You got your first bribe.
Ooh!
I got my first bribe.
You got your first bribe offer on Facebook.
Oh, cool! What's the bribe?
Basil. I make my own soap from recycled cooking oil. If you endorse Basil, I'll send you a crate of it. Also, lots of basil.
A crate? What am I going to do?
How much soap is in a crate?
I know, a crate of basil.
My Lord, I'll take some of that.
You know what? And I will give you some.
Thank you.
I bathe, but not that often.
But I'm not backing basil.
Oh, you're not backing? Oh, Ben, who are you backing?
We got another one.
It's not basil.
So it's either cilantro or chamomile.
Chamomile apparently is hard to grow from seed. And then we got a request for no cilantro, please. I beg you, I don't want to make cilantro posters.
That's
it's maybe not the most photogenic of the three.
Yeah, that's true.
Chamomile's pretty. It's yummy. It smells good.
Have you ever tried harvesting tea from chamomile flowers?
Absolutely not.
Oh, that takes a long time.
I bet it does. And how long do you have to dry them out and the whole process?
I had a plant a few years ago, and it was gorgeous, and I enjoyed it, but I think we got, three or four bags of tea.
How was the tea, though?
To calm you after the harvest.
Yeah, exactly.
How was the tea, though?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It's good.
Go ahead.
Chamomile, one of the fun things about this year's candidates is how you can, walking around Chicago's different ethnic neighborhoods, you can see them growing now, quote-unquote, wild, because there's candidates that we're already growing in our communities. And so it's fun to, sometimes walk around and harvest some when you find it growing, alongside somebody's fence or spilling out into the sidewalk or in the cracks or whatnot. But chamomile was one of those that I didn't really pay much attention to until I noticed that it seemed like everybody on my block was growing it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had to grow it because everybody else was growing it. So that's kind of one of the things that 1C Chicago does, too, that it inspires gardening by setting an example for your neighbors.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a tweet here that taking issue with the idea that chamomile is not hard to grow, or that chamomile is hard to grow from seed. So, see, we've got the controversy going already.
There we go. Mission accomplished.
And I've
actually sent the garden world a tizzy.
I know, and my favorite so far is the person out there in the Twitter sphere who's got their Bic lighter up and is saying, "Free pesto! Free pesto!" So, free the pesto 7. So, you know. Mr. Brownthumb, before I let you guys go, what's on your radar in the world of horticulture and gardening?
The Chicago Flower and Garden Show coming up pretty soon. I'm really excited about the theme this year. And
what is the theme?
It's horticulture.
Horticulture.
Yes, so that could be really fun depending on how people interpret it and what they do. But one of the things in particular is that we're talking with the Chicago Flower and Garden Show so that we're trying to host a seed swap at it this year.
Oh, now that would be great. A seed swap would be awesome. That'd be excellent. And you guys should have a find a way to get the 1C Chicago booth so people can come and debate. You know, stand there all day long and debate seeds right at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
Maybe one day you could do a remote show
from Bug House Square. We could have the 1C Chicago debate at Bug House Square.
Well, and Ben, what were you saying?
No, I think that is one of the few places where people would really get into that debate. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which is, do you have the dates handy there?
Not off the top of my head.
It's in March. That's all you need to know right now. Yeah, it's in March. And it's
you'll see the ads everywhere.
10 days in March. And anything else?
I think that's about it right now. It's kind of the slow season, so there's not a lot going on.
Well, this is why you do the One Seat Chicago at this time of year. So, voting is going on right now through April 1st. The thing we didn't mention is, Ben, that if you vote, you get a packet of seeds, right?
This is true. Yeah, you vote, we'll send you a free packet in the mail.
And people ask me, how do you decide whether somebody's in the Chicago area?
I mean, I think the geography decides that for us.
Well, no, wait a second. But, you know, let's say that somebody votes from, I don't know.
In the Chicago area. So
Rensselaer, yeah. Indiana. I mean, is that Chicago area?
That's a good question. So what we do is we do favor Chicago proper first. And, you know, we'll print up and packet a certain number of packets, and we'll send them to Chicago first, and then we'll start going wider and wider until we run out of seeds. But we do try to get everybody if we can. Well, in the first year, we did not specify Chicagoland, and, we were getting seed requests from Russia.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but, you know, here's the thing that I don't know how you decide how to do this, but I think you should be able to vote from anywhere on the planet. Now, as to whether you get a seed packet, yeah, if you're in Russia, probably you're not going to get one. Although I have, you know, I've got listeners in Germany, in Finland, you know.
I have been to Holland, and they do sell approved USA bulbs in their farmer's markets and stuff for plants and stuff. I've seen it, like, approved for the USA on the bag.
Yeah. But my feeling is, you know, maybe you should just let anybody vote.
Well, the reason we don't do that is because we've actually had some copycats around the country, There's now other One Seeds, other cities, so they do their own competitions.
Oh, the nerve!
So we don't want to. I mean, we want to encourage that. We'd love to see, you know, One Seed Dubuque.
All right, so that
Toronto.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So if they can't get seeds from Chicago, then they have to do their own.
Yeah, so right now it's One Seed Rhode Island is the one that's going strong, and we hope there are more in the years to come.
We just got to vote for Dill.
Whoa, write-in candidate?
Write-in candidate.
Maybe Dill might have been the fourth, you know, the first runner-up.
I like Dill. See, now Dill.
I'm a fan of Dill. I enjoy a good pickle, amongst many other things. No pun intended, boys. No pun intended.
All right, well, while we're up.
I think we should allow writing candidates.
Are we playing in the dirt now? Jeez. Man. I set myself up.
I think
for that.
We should allow. I don't know how you do a write-in candidate, but we got a tweet here. Cilantro is cool. Take it out to a bar and be popular. Chamomile will not get you laid. So.
Wait, was that Cope Dog? That sounds like
no,
Cope
that's
Dog.
Not Cope Dog. That's
because you got to go to a tea house, not a bar.
That's true. What do we
depends
think?
On what kind of person you want to pick up at said bar or tea house.
So, if you're within shouting distance of Chicago, you should vote in the one seat.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, if you're within the sound of my voice here, not on the internet, I think it's probably because we cover basically the northern third of Illinois. We reach up into Wisconsin, over into northwest Indiana. I picked us up driving in Michigan. I know we have a lot of Michigan listeners along the lake, and hey, you folks in Michigan, you're going to get some snow. Just giving you a wave right now. So if, you know, I don't know if Michigan's too far, but, you know, somewhere within the sound of my voice on the radio waves, vote in One Seed Chicago. You've got till April 1st. Go online to oneseedchicago.com. Just wanted to make sure I had it exactly right. Ben Helphand from Neighborspace, thank you so much. Mr. Brown Thumb from Mr. Brown Thumb Worldwide, thank you for being on the show. And
Thanks for having us.
Well, this is just the beginning. This is the shot across the bow. And
well, I'm not going to endorse the candidates, but I know who you are, so I can be a contrarian and endorse somebody else. So I hope we'll be back again to talk about One Seat.
As they say, game on. All right, gentlemen, take care. Have a great New Year. Happy New Year
to
both.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, and we're going to next talk about recipes that I will probably never make myself. But, you know, somebody might.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Are you aware that winter is an excellent time to prune your trees? You know, this is great. There's no snow. Folks can get out there. Now, the bad side is that normally I say that you can get your trees pruned and it doesn't hurt them because the ground's frozen, so you can get machinery, get trucks in there a little closer. Well, we haven't really had that. We will have that in the next couple of days, but then it's going to warm up again, so it's a mixed bag here. But one of the reasons that winter pruning can slow the spread is that winter pruning can slow the spread of diseases such as Dutch elm and oak wilt, and even an infestation of emerald ash borer. Why? Because the tree is dormant and less likely to produce running sap that attracts disease-carrying insects. In addition, pruning can also help reduce snow and ice damage, if we ever get it, to trees that are prone to this kind of damage. Birches, for instance, can be devastated by snow and ice if not pruned on a regular basis to help improve their structure. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Just don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't.
Do they? Spike
no.
Jones. Oh, my goodness.
Hello. And the City Slickers.
And the City Slickers. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Happy New Year, everybody. We're just getting some of the funniest tweets.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And stuff and stuff on Facebook. And, you know, I haven't even gone to my email. It's the thing about Twitter that I really love is it's so immediate. It just bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And you just go with that. But what was that last one? Chamomile is fine if you're dating Grandma Moses. In that case, let's have a write-in for lavender. There you go.
Hey, lavender's not a bad thing either.
That's not a bad write-in.
No.
Yeah.
I have friends who grow it fresh and make the little, you know, sprigs out of it to put in your, you know, sock drawer, hang in your kitchen. And I welcome those every springtime when they come. I'm like, oh. So.
Well, okay.
That makes me Grandma Moses, oh well.
You, I got to tell you something.
Just give me my jar of dill pickles and I'll be on my way.
Yikes. we're not even going to tell folks what Kathleen tweeted. So,
I love her. I just love her.
We have. Do we have somebody on?
We have a listener with a question on line two, and we have our guest on line one.
All right, let's go to the question real quick. And Crispin in Palatine. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And
to
I'm
you.
Very happy that you are here live.
Yay, I know.
As opposed to recording, but I also I would put a vote in for Basil. But you see, you're mispronouncing the word.
Oh?
Yes, it is Basil.
Basil?
Yes. And the only reason I know that is because of Fawlty Towers.
Ah.
You know, John Lee, and his wife would always say,
Basil! Basil! Basil!
You know what? Yep. We need to get a clip from
Fawlty
Towers.
Oh, I'm looking already. Are you kidding? I'm a Monty Python junkie. No problem.
So she's
on it.
Give
me 2 seconds.
All right, she'll find that. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. And let's keep this nice warm weather going. And as far as I'm concerned, a year without snow is a great year.
I got to disagree with you. I love snow. I think
yes,
snow.
But you know, it's fine. And you know what? If you want snow, there's lots of it in the Colorado Rockies. So you just jump on the Big Bird and fly to Denver.
And who can afford to do that, okay? You know, I might hitchhike out there, but I ain't flying on the Big Bird. But let's not forget that a lot of industry, even in this area, relies on snow. I've been hearing reports about places that have sledding and skiing and how tough it is for them to make a living. And this is not a way to get your year off to a good start in a bad economy. So I kind of feel for those folks because I've been talking about how the economy has affected growers for the last 3-4 years. It's been brutal. I mean, and Garden Center's going out of business. SIDS, which was a great sponsor of my show, went out of business, and others have. So my heart goes out to those people who need the snow to make a little cash at this time of year.
Well, I understand. And unfortunately, I'm afraid this coming summer is going to be a banner year for the mosquitoes.
Could be.
Well, they haven't killed any of them off so far. So.
I know they're probably still out there floating around.
Hey,
thank you for calling. We're checking out the Fawlty Towers, and we will have some sort of audio clip for you, I'm sure, in record time. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Bye bye. Let's go to the phones again and bring in. Is it Ivanko, John?
Nope.
Actually, his other better half, Lisa Kivaris.
Oh,
hi.
It's just Lee. It's John's not with you.
No, it's me.
Okay. Well, so this is the old bait and switch that I did on my website and earlier in the show when I promised that the two of you would be here. But that's okay. I'm happy to have Lisa Kivaris, who is one of the authors of Farmstead Chef, which came out, when exactly did it come out?
Oh, just last month, end of this year, yeah.
Oh, good, so it's still fresh on the shelves. And John is your husband and co-author, and you guys run In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast up in Wisconsin, and you have a farm. And it's organic. And not only that, which something else that really impresses me is that you guys are trying to stay off the grid. In fact, not only off the grid, but putting, you know, power back into the grid.
Indeed, Mike. Our farm is completely powered by the good old tax-free wind and the sun. So we generate more power than we use and get a check back from our utility company at the end of the year instead of having to pay them. It's a nice switch of the equation.
You know, it's interesting. I actually had to perform last night. I was at a New Year's Eve function and got into a conversation with a guy, and this is kind of off the subject of your cookbook. We'll get to that in a second. But with a guy who he was saying that the whole solar thing is a scam, that it costs more money to put to build these things, the panels and the pollution and the carbon footprint from that does not even come close to offsetting the good that they do. And he was claiming it with wind power, too, and I was very, very skeptical, but it also made me want to go read up on this. Now, obviously, you do it on a small scale, but you found that it works for you.
You bet. But those are good questions to ask. Renewable energy is a complicated, complex equation, and I think sometimes when people want a one-size-fits-all answer that's also cheap and we don't have to sacrifice for it, that's hard to do. The biggest issue that we are still moving towards is using less energy. People come to the farm and they see that big, sexy wind turbine, and they want to talk about putting one of those in. And we talk about things like compact fluorescence and driving your car less and using overall less energy. And folks never want to really talk about that one, but that's an important one before we start talking about putting up panels or building turbines.
Well, but the turbine is sexy, and the car, you know, you have a lot of sidebars in this book. It's not just about cooking, not just about recipes. It's not just a recipe book. It's a guide for green living, in a sense, and eating healthy while you're doing it. I mean, you talk about the solar-powered car up there. I mean, that's pretty cool. And using the Earth's resources and putting them back, which is the basis of permaculture. You mentioned permaculture in there, and a lot of people are interested in permaculture. And the point that you're making in the book, obviously, is how to eat local, how to eat smart at the same time. And it can be difficult. How do you address the issue that we're in winter and you can't get fresh strawberries right now, or you can't get other fresh produce that would be in some of the recipes you have?
No, that's a great question. And it's one that always seems to come up right around New Year's, of making resolutions to eat local. But this is a much better resolution to make 6 months from now on June 1st when things are in abundance. And it's interesting because we live in a world where, yeah, we could buy anything 24/7. You could go out and buy strawberries today, but they don't taste like they do 6 months from now in June. So,
and also, the strawberries are one of those items that are always in the articles, and they say the worst attractors of pesticides, the ones that hold on to them the longest.
Indeed. There's nasty stuff sprayed into the soil, sprayed into the plant of strawberries that are not grown organically or grown in home gardens, and you can taste a huge difference. Now, they're going to be smaller, the ones that come out of our farm, than the ones you see in the mega shopping malls, but there's flavor there, and they need to be savored, and we gorge when June comes around, and we freeze some for the smoothies we'll make this morning. And there's a pattern to eating seasonally that really lasts throughout the year, and it's enjoying things when they're in abundance and then saving some for the year round. So it's very much shifting to that mindset, which has been a learning process for us and something we share in the Farmstead Chef Cookbook, and that it's very much a journey. And to your point earlier about the renewable energy, it's very much connected with everything else we do. John and I are real passionate about food because it's a real point of entry for folks to start changing, to start making some changes towards living more sustainably. And maybe once you start eating those strawberries, the following year you want to plant some in your own home backyard and start a garden. And then you start thinking about your energy use. And maybe one that year down the line, you know, you move to a farm and put up one of those wind turbines. That would be great. But it's very incremental and a fun journey along the way, which we try to share in the cookbook, in that it's something we can all explore in our own home kitchens.
And one of the things that, you know, that's it, I love the fact that you were able to do this. But, you know, truthfully, not everybody can pick up and buy a farm in Wisconsin and put up solar panels and put up wind. So they have to get closer to that in their own way. Let's say you're like me. I live smack dab in the middle of the city of Chicago. Where do I start?
No, that we live in a really exciting time for that. When John and I left Chicago now 15 years ago to move to our Wisconsin farm, there wasn't what we have in Chicago today between shows and resources like yours and the booming farmers markets and a lot of better ways to connect with our farmers. And what we write about in the Farmstead Chef book, of eating farmsteadtarian, of being on a first name basis with your farmer, knowing where your food comes from, having that authenticity. You can do that wherever you live now, from urban rooftop gardens to suburban farmers markets to farms like ours in rural areas. So we live in a really exciting, opportune time for folks to take charge of their food wherever you may live.
And one of the things I love about your cookbook is that you're not dogmatic. You are not saying you can't eat meat. You're not saying You can't have a drink. you're not saying you can't have butter. You know, it's not, and it's not, you know, it's not totally vegan, even though you have vegan recipes in there. It's a little bit of something for everybody.
That's what we're all about. Everything in moderation, but importantly, eating real food when you do. I made the Irish cream recipe that's in the cookbook last night for New Year's, and yeah, we used real cream, and it was a special night, and it was a holiday, and we enjoyed it. And that's what Farmstead Chef is all about, of enjoying the food you have, enjoying the richer creams in moderation, but making sure they came from real happy cows.
Yeah, make sure the cow has a smile.
You know?
And getting to the meat thing, you know, the part of the reason you're on the show is because of our friends, the Osmonds, who have their meat farm, and they're with Cedar Valley Sustainable Farm, Beth and Jody. They've been on the, Beth has been on the show a number of times. Jody's like John. He's sort of in the background. He doesn't do the radio thing. But you have their recipes using their stuff. And I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Give me some favorites from the book and things you're really glad you were able to get into the book in terms of recipes.
Sure. Well, some of the recipes are contributed, like the Osmonds are one of what we call our kitchen table talks that are featured stories of farmer friends of ours, food activists, and how they grow food, how they raise their animals, how they treat their animals. And Beth contributed their sausage risotto recipe, which is one of my winter favorites. Right now, we're all about the winter root crops. So this morning, I did our pumpkin peanut butter bread using pureed pumpkins from our fall crop and pairing it with peanut butter. So you see a lot of that in the cookbook, too, of taking garden staple favorites and pairing them with ingredients you might not normally think about but would have in your pantry, like peanut butter.
And one of the ones that really caught my eye was the breakfast, what is it, tomato pie?
Oh, yeah, breakfast tomato pie. That's a favorite in Serendipity, our B&B, but only in the summer months because that's one of those classic recipes that showcases the fresh and abundant. I've tried making it with frozen tomatoes. It just doesn't work. So that's what's on the table come July, August, September. So it's basically a savory quiche style of breakfast entree, but with a lot more vegetables, a lot more basil and tomatoes than eggs.
And I should mention that you've written this cookbook in a way that makes it easy for even people like me, and you, I don't know if you've been listening on the way into this conversation. I'm not a cook. I don't cook. But I'll bet I could probably make a few of these recipes.
I'm sure you could, Mike, and that's exactly our goal with Farmstead Chef, is if you're, particularly if you're a gardener and you're growing a lot of your own vegetables, that's 99% of the recipes, is having great-tasting, fresh, local, seasonal produce and fruits and things from the garden and from local farmers. You don't have to do that much to it, necessarily. A lot of our recipes just have a handful of ingredients, because if the vegetable is fresh and in season, that's the flavor you want to have shine. So it doesn't take... John and I are not trained culinary professionals or trained chefs. We just love cooking and love being in the kitchen and really love celebrating what we can grow here, particularly in the Midwest, and how can we showcase that on the plate.
The book is called Farmstead Chef. I love the concept that you use, and I've got it written on the website. You go to my website, mikenovak.net. All of it's on this week's show, including a link to the book and some of the recipes that you can find in the book, like zucchini feta pancakes, a fresh tomato breakfast pie we just mentioned, winter squash spice muffins, homemade vegan pitas and pita chips, cheese roasted asparagus, creamy spinach salad, creamy leek pastries, herb-infused spare ribs, fried green tomato and basil sandwich. Man, I want some of that stuff right now. And the phrase you use that I really like is farmsteaditarian, or farmsteadtarian. That's what you use.
Yeah, that is a term we're using to describe how we eat, describe the philosophy in Farmstead Chef of being on that first-name basis with your farmer and food sources. And it's really exciting now to see more of this movement and people asking questions and wanting to know where things come from. And the closer you are to that source, ideally some of it coming from your own backyard gardens, we know where that came from. We know how we treated the soil there. We want the same with everything on our plate. And between growing some of it our own and supporting local farmers and asking those questions even at our regular supermarkets, we can increase the number of options available to all of us.
Well, you, Lisa Kivarist, are relentlessly positive. And it shows. It shows in the book, and it shows in this conversation, and I think in a good way. And I heartily endorse folks buying this book, Farmstead Chef, and trying out some recipes. And when you do, folks, write to me and let me know how they turn out. And you can go to, again, my website, MikeNovak.net, link to it, and you'll see some of the stuff that's in there. And Mike, congrats to you, Lisa and John, and let's talk again in the future.
Great. Come visit us up at the farm sometime.
Oh, I want to come to
the border north.
Yeah, in Serendipity. Love to be there.
Excellent. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Take care. That wraps it up. I want folks to bribe me to for the One Seed Chicago. Start sending those bribes in, and then I'll pick a candidate, and we'll see if we can ramrod it through. Until next week, we go green or we go
home.
Yeah, see you then.